Well, you certainly know how to compliment a woman. Well, if you'll excuse me.
Do you know who I am?
No, I can't say that I do.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, zero.
Kizzy's Friday Game Changers, taking your business to the next level.
Coming up on Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
Firstly, it is fast becoming the dominant technology. And secondly, because most of the central banks are looking to digitise their currencies, it is highly likely that the majority of the world's population will be using crypto in the near future.
And also,
crypto was the best performing asset on the face of the planet last year. So to give you an idea, Bitcoin appreciated 270%, Ethereum appreciated 450%.
Hi, this is Ray Zinn.
Hi, I'm Jamie Martin from Ideal Shopping Direct.
I'm Kate Bell, founder of Zip Us In.
Hi, my name is Eirik Eide Patterson. I'm a co-founder of Seaborg Technologies.
Hi, I'm Katie Farrell, transformation coach, founder of The Catalyst for Life.
Hey everybody, I'm David Frangioni, CEO and co-founder of All Access IDA, Inspire and Develop Artists, and you're listening to Kizzy's Friday Game Changer. Check it out.
Welcome to Kizzy's Friday Game Changers
with your host Kizzy and Quatcha,
the show for innovators and motivators, people just like you.
Kizzy is the publisher of Business Game Changer magazine and the property investor, editor of the successful Women in Business book series
and the best-selling Every Entrepreneur's Guide series.
Every week, Kizzy and his guests provide you with the tools you need to take your game-changing business to the next level.
Listen, learn and innovate.
Now meet your host, your mentor and your fellow game changer, Kizzy and Quatcha.
Hello and welcome to Kizzy's Friday Game Changers. My guest this week is none other than Catherine Wooler, Managing Director of crypto exchange Daxi. Now, Catherine's considered an authority in technology for finance and wealth creation, and she's also facilitating the Women Who Crypto Group. What a fantastic name, Women Who Crypto Group. Now, this group is believed to be the largest online meetup for women focused on building personal wealth through digital assets. In just a few minutes, I'll be talking to Catherine to find out more about cryptocurrencies and hopefully mining, you see, cryptocurrencies, mining, I'm here till Friday, mining her secrets of success.
I'm Brian Stolle, founding partner of Wildcat Venture Partners.
Hey, Tanja Lee here, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. I'm a leadership and mindset specialist for real estate and property professionals.
Hi, I'm Jonathan from Amplify.
Hi, I'm Johnny Combe, CEO of Payback4 UK.
I'm Kenneth Hafianyo, the founder of Jogwefa, an ethical fashion brand based in Ho, Volta Region, Ghana. My Friday is never the same without Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
Welcome to the show. This week I have the honor and privilege of breaking bread with Catherine Wooler, Managing Director of Digital Asset Exchange Daxi. But before we jump into today's conversation, I've been asked to remind you that Business Game Changer magazine has just published its Book of the Month, a business Bible by Orison Swett Marden. Now the book, How They Succeeded, Life Stories of Successful Business Leaders Told by Themselves, is described as one of the most influential business books of the 20th and 21st century. Now, if you want insight and advice on how to get ahead in business, then why not get it straight from the horse's mouth? This book is guaranteed to change your life and give you the tools you need to take your business to the next level. Oh, and it's also worth mentioning that it's got an incredibly inspiring, moving, almost poetic, thought-provoking foreword from yours truly, which I believe is worth the asking price alone. Who said rubbish? It is, honestly. Anyway, How They Succeeded, Life and Stories of Successful Business Leaders Told by Themselves by Orison Swett Marden is on Amazon, and you can pick up your copy from clicking the link that's on the Friday Game Changer site. That's it. Job done and the bills have been paid. Catherine, it's amazing to have you join me.
Thank you for the introduction. Great to be here.
Oh, she sounds very... Do you know what? You sound so quiet and timid now.
Because we're recording. No, I'm so pleased to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation. Great to join you.
Milady, you are welcome. You are welcome. The pleasure is really mine. I've been looking forward to this conversation for such a long time. Let's start at the very beginning, because your career, you've focused on financial services across banking, lending, investments, asset management, and wealth management. What was it about money and finance that resonated so much with you during the start of your career?
Yeah, sure. So I'm embarrassed to say that I thought I graduated in a recession. So I graduated in 2003, which at the time we thought was recession. In retrospect, it wasn't really. So I had loads of my sort of classmates from uni were going into big banks and big asset managers. And I just thought, you know what? I'm not sure I want to go and join some big corporate machine and be one of, you know, I don't know, 500 graduates that joined that year. So I was always more interested in sort of the smaller niche businesses. I felt like you could learn more, you had more access to people that would mentor you, you'd have be more in, sort of more likely to go to interesting meetings, meet interesting people, build your network. So I was very interested in the world of business and in growing my personal wealth. As I mentioned to you when we were chatting before the show, the property market was really rocking and rolling. So I just think I got very interested. I think it was a time where lots of people were told, look, if you make good decisions and you create yourself passive income and, you know, you invest wisely, that will give you a more interesting life in the long term. So I think finance and wealth always interested me. And I think sort of going into some of those smaller businesses was a very good career decision for me and my personality type. I've obviously got a bit of personality. I'm quite outgoing. I'm not sure just being sort of a worker drone in the background would have really suited me. And unfortunately, now I've had exposure to bigger businesses. You know, I've worked for a technology provider with OTC derivatives, which we got into some of the world's biggest asset managers and hedge funds. You know, and I've worked and been in meetings at Deutsche Bank and Citi and UBS. That I haven't changed that opinion. I respect big businesses, but I also think there's a lot to be achieved by small disruptive startups, which is really the sort of disruptive startup scene. And wealth creation was kind of what interested me.
I've got a note here that says Daxi is your third blockchain business.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about Daxi. What does it do and what makes it so special?
Yeah, sure. So Daxi is a global fintech business. We're headquartered in Singapore. We have 6 offices globally. I head up the UK and Europe. So we're a crypto exchange. So we help people purchase crypto. And there are a number of businesses that do that. There aren't really any with a UK base. So I think for UK retail investors, they often want to deal with someone in the UK. We have offices in Oxford. We're on the list of permitted exchanges with the FCA. So it just makes people feel a bit more safe and secure that it's something sort of close to home. And actually, most of those exchanges are people that trade. So they're day traders. They buy and sell every day. We're a little bit different. We actually help people build wealth through crypto. So most people that purchase crypto through us are looking to hold for anything between sort of 6 to 18 months. They can sell whatever they like, but they tend to have a strategy to hold. And we're very education led for the vast majority. You know, we've got thousands of platform users for nearly all of them. Them using our platform was the first time that they've been involved in crypto. So we're very education led. So we put out loads of free content, whether it's webinars or ebooks or loads of sort of social media content to help people that are intrigued by crypto, but just sort of struggling either to access the information in a palatable way or just want to, you know, do their research, do their homework. We're a good starting point.
It's interesting you say that crypto, Daxi is education led, and you also mentioned the fact that a part of its ethos is to help people build wealth through cryptocurrencies, because that's something that's really personal to you, and it's something that you kind of committed yourself to before Daxi.
Yeah, sure. So as I mentioned, I've worked for, this is my third blockchain business. So I love the technology side. You know, blockchain, you'll see, in my opinion, is the dominant technology or is fast becoming the dominant technology. I read a great thing. We're recording this on a Tuesday. I was only managing to read 10-day-old weekend papers. I've had such a crazy week. And I was reading blockchain described as the rails on which everything will run. So I suppose the analogy is, at one point, we didn't think computers would be everywhere. We didn't think mobile phones would amount to anything. We didn't think people would have smartphones that cost 800 quid, but here we are. So I think for me, you see blockchain across loads of industries, whether it's healthcare or agriculture or banking or supply chain, it's everywhere. But I think you now see crypto becoming the dominant technology. And I've been writing in the press for a while now about that wave of adoption is coming. So if someone says to you, yeah, I don't like crypto, it's not for me, I don't think so. Firstly, it is fast becoming the dominant technology. And secondly, because most of the central banks are looking to digitize their currencies, it is highly likely that the majority of the world's population will be using crypto in the near future, albeit sometimes without knowing.
I love that quote, the rails on which everything will run, because that's the sort of thing that you hear and you think, I really should know more about this, because it sounds as though it's going to be so important in the years to come. Now, because you are our resident crypto expert, I asked our listeners to send me some questions on cryptocurrencies. So just to give people an understanding of what cryptocurrencies are and why they're so important. So I've got about three or four really interesting questions that I've selected that I think kind of sum up what everybody wants to know. So are you sitting comfortably? Have you got a cup of tea? Because I've got a couple of questions to ask you.
Yeah, very good. I've got water. I've got lovely water here. So fire away.
Okay, here we go. Catherine, what are the different types of cryptocurrencies? What are the main types of cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, sure. So a great question. So whoever gave you that, thank you very much. So look, there is a huge variety of crypto out there. It might surprise you to know that we're just nudging 8,500 different cryptos, which is just mind-boggling. So for someone to wake up and think, do you know, I'm interested in crypto, that's an awful lot of variety to sift through. So it is my opinion and the opinion of anybody sensible that the vast majority of those cryptocurrencies will fall away in not even the medium term, in the short term, because the world just doesn't need that many. So, of course, most people have heard of Bitcoin. That's kind of the poster child, if you like, for crypto. A lot of the big banks, asset managers, hedge funds are now talking about it, as, of course, a lot of big payment companies. And, of course, Ethereum is sort of catching up with that. Crypto was the best performing asset on the face of the planet last year. So to give you an idea, Bitcoin appreciated 270%, Ethereum appreciated 450%. So I think when you sort of talk about crypto, it's quite a broad brush. When someone's talking about crypto, they generally don't mean all 8,500 currencies. They're generally talking about the reputable cryptos, what we call the blue chip cryptos, which is Bitcoin, Ethereum and Litecoin, because those are the ones that the institutions want. So I think there's a huge variety within crypto. Without sort of bamboozling you with science, you get payment cryptos. So things like central bank currencies that I mentioned, and sort of corporate crypto and independent crypto such as Bitcoin and Litecoin. You also get utility tokens, which are more designed for a specific ecosystem. So those are sort of blockchain tokens designed for paying for using the blockchain. So for example, Ethereum. And then you get security tokens, which are used to tokenize and represent any asset, whether it's, you know, fine wine or a beautiful piece of art or, you know, an outrageously expensive car. So there is a lot of variety within crypto. So I think if you're looking to get involved, you do need to do your homework. Daxi puts out loads of free resources, as do a number of other exchanges. But I think you've got to be really clear what crypto you're interested in. You know, I think by the time you get down to, there's loads of market data out there, but, you know, out of those 8,500 cryptos, you know, Bitcoin on the day that we're recording has had £74 billion worth traded. If you get down to crypto number 1,000 by market cap, you know, that there's nowhere near the demand. So I think you've got to be really clear, if you're getting involved in crypto, what you're looking to achieve, I think, and what your risk profile is.
Holy smoke, 8,500 different cryptos. And,
yes.
And I've been told that Facebook, in conjunction with business partners, are going to be introducing something called the Libra coin. Are you excited by the prospect of Libra?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, obviously, Facebook, rightly or wrongly, comes under quite a lot of fire for various things. So I think there are quite a lot of people that are nervous about Facebook sort of having that. It's actually known as Diem now. It was formerly known as Libra. So they're looking at having sort of a blockchain-based payment system. And look, you know, there's a lot of chat currently about a lot of the big corporates using crypto broadly for their treasury. So good examples of that are, of course, Elon Musk recently has said that he actually bought $1.5 billion worth of crypto 2 weeks ago now, I think. So look, lots of businesses are looking to use crypto within their ecosystem in place of cash. And look, you know, some of the big investment banks are also now doing the same. One of my favorite stories is that JP Morgan's considering its own crypto. I really liked last summer, so summer 2020, at the beginning of the summer, all the banks were saying, absolutely not, crypto's dreadful, run for the hills. But yet by the end of the summer, they were kind of coming around. It's estimated that about a third of institutions now own crypto, which is fantastic. Hedge funds, asset managers are all coming on board. But yeah, my favorite story over the summer was at the beginning of the summer, you saw Goldman Sachs doing a call to its investors, absolutely not, run for the hills. And yet by the end of the summer had hired a head of global, had a global head of digital assets and was looking at launching its own coin. So you'll see lots of big businesses launching their own cryptos. And I think some of those will be taken more serious than the others. So when we're talking about treasuries using crypto, and Elon Musk was kind of the first person to stand up and say, yes, this is great. There's a lot of rumors that Amazon and Apple may follow. And look, those are two of the world's most valuable companies. So if you get Facebook, Amazon, and Apple, you know, in the crypto industry, and I mean that very broadly, that's phenomenal. That's a significant proportion of the world's global wealth migrating to crypto, which is obviously very interesting times. And over a fairly short period of time, you know, crypto is a couple of years old. I always describe my job as I work in the world's most exciting industry, and it's also one of the newest. And I really mean that, you know, the progress that crypto has made in a short period of time is just phenomenal.
Okay, so in a nutshell then, I know there's a lot of science, so don't bamboozle me too much with science, because you know I can't get my head around those figures. But in a nutshell, what would you say are the main advantages cryptocurrency has over traditional currency?
Yeah, sure. So the proponents of crypto will argue that it is a quicker, faster way of processing payments. So that's a fact. You know, having things on the blockchain means that we can move value quicker and more efficiently. So a good example of that would be something like a transfer that took place on Bitfinex of $1.1 billion worth of Bitcoin, and it cost less than a dollar to do that. So I know, Kizzy, you're sitting in France, I'm sitting in the UK. If, you know, I owed Kizzy, you know, 15 quid of my British pounds, it's a real pain in the bottom for me to have to go to my bank, because they won't let me do it online, and then they'll charge me an exchange rate, and then they'll take a little spread and they'll charge me a fee for sending him 15 quid. Whereas actually, if we both had accounts on the Daxi platform, Kizzy would say, you owe me 15 quid, I'd wire it to him, it would cost me next to nothing, and it would be almost instantaneous. So in terms of the infrastructure, if that doesn't sound too nerdy, it's very interesting. If you take that to another level, it's truly global. So those countries that haven't had the best infrastructure are very interested in it. And also there's a real sense that it's fairer. So it's what's called decentralized. So of course, the UK, the British pound, of course, is heavily controlled by the Bank of England and our politicians. We'll leave whether that's good or a bad thing probably to another podcast that has 8 hours to run. But I think particularly what's decentralized, so the crypto that doesn't have one person in charge of it, you know, it's owned across its users, hence you sort of see people talking about the distributed ledger technology, it's more democratic, no one can manipulate it, and it's fairer. So you'll see lots of chat in crypto about crypto doesn't care if you're male or female or where you live or the color of your skin or your height or your education level. It's just a fairer way of moving value and sharing wealth. And of course, that's what makes it such an exciting technology.
And are cryptocurrencies now considered to be mainstream?
So that's a really beautiful question. So as Elon Musk took his deep breath on Twitter and said, I bought $1.5 billion worth and I'm looking to accept it as a payment method for cars for Tesla, the Financial Times ran a story at the weekend, over the weekend, which said, is crypto in the mainstream? And actually, even a year ago, to see crypto being talked about by the mainstream financial press was almost unheard of. So we have a bit of a joke at Daxi. If, you know, literally 6 months ago, if we saw crypto mentioned in a British national newspaper, we'd be sharing it excitedly. Now it's there almost daily. And I think, look, if you took a microphone up and down a British high street, I know our high streets were a bit empty right now because of COVID, you know, people have heard of Bitcoin and they just hadn't, you know, 12, 18 months ago. And for someone like me that's been in the industry a while, you know, 12 to 18 months ago, it probably was really tech-focused people in their back bedroom, private individuals. Now you've got a whole industry. Now you've got big banks coming to the table. And if you look at what's being reported in the press, people like me, of course, I think crypto is great. I work in it. But actually now you've got city analysts talking about, look, I think Bitcoin will go up 3 to 10-fold its current price in 2021. And that's not someone like me that has a vested interest in it and a passion for it. These are cold-hearted city analysts that are looking for the next big thing, that are paid million-pound bonuses to work out what's going to grow. I think that crypto, in my opinion, is thoroughly in the mainstream. You know, all those big payment businesses, you know, PayPal, live in 200 countries, 320 million plus users, has crypto on its platform. Visa and MasterCard are looking to follow. You know, some of the world's biggest retail businesses, whether it's eBay or Amazon or Uber or, you know, Starbucks, are all talking about accepting it. So yeah, in my opinion, in the last 6 months, crypto now is a mainstream topic and asset.
Catherine, I just love listening to you talk because you sound so passionate. I'm getting excited because you're excited.
Quite right.
That's amazing. No, it's fantastic. So it's a lot going on there. There's a lot of questions, and lots of amazing developments covering we're experiencing every single day. I've got so many questions. Okay, can't ask that one. Done this one. Oh, here's a good one. Here's, before the break, what can I buy with cryptocurrency?
Yeah, sure. So that's a really interesting question. So the argument for crypto today is not that you can go and buy a coffee. It's not that when you pop out to do your food shop that you would use it. So as I mentioned, you know, the payment companies are very much backing it and making it part of their infrastructure. We're not there yet. You know, I absolutely couldn't say to you, yeah, you know, you need to bin your local currency, whether you're euros for Kizzy or, you know, British pounds for me. Yeah, just put it all in the bin and completely move your life to crypto. We're not there yet. But equally, I think we are getting there. You know, if you look at Visa holds 24 patents in blockchain. You can pay in crypto via their relationship with Coinbase, but they're looking to make crypto available. I mean, they've got 61 million merchants and it's used by a billion people. That's a massive audience. We're not there today. So I think the people that are purchasing crypto today are taking advantage of that wave of adoption and the growth in prices. Look, there are crypto credit cards. Are they great? Not really. Are they accepted everywhere? No. Are they expensive? Yes. So I think the retail users of crypto right now are buying it for growth, not buying it for a coffee. And look, COVID has very efficiently killed cash. I was putting some stories in the press. I was asked to write probably, you know, March, April last year to say that COVID has very efficiently killed cash. You know, they want you to use the touchless payments. They've put the increase up. They're looking to put it up to £100. And look, you know, if anyone listening to this, when and how often do you use cash? So my answer is, well, I use cash for the very annoying car park on the high street and pocket money for my son. Apart from that, you know, I can go weeks, you know, months without spending physical cash. So, yeah, I think that you will see cash dying away. I think you'll see, you know, electronic payments already have triumphed. And I think the next phase of that, the next logical phase of that for me is crypto.
We are living in very, very exciting times. Let's just hold that thought and take a quick break. We're going to take a quick music break and come back to our conversation in just a few minutes. This week's incredibly talented entrepreneur, this week's boss star, are Francisca Iseli and Krista Hall, founders of Basic Bananas. Now, Francisca and Krista are highly sought after entrepreneurs, popular speakers, mad adventurers, authors, and the founders of a few successful businesses, including, of course, BasicBananas.com, Australia's largest marketing education organization with workshops across the planet. But when Francisca and Krista aren't shaking things up in a boardroom, they're thrilling audiences worldwide with their incredible band, Salty Lips. Here they are, Francisco and Krista, a.k.a. Salty Lips, performing Rancho de la Luna. Take it away, girls.
Took a shot right and at the gates of hell. Oh, oh my.
I'm Brian Stolle, founding partner of Wildcat Venture Partners.
Hey, Tanja Lee here, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. I'm a leadership and mindset specialist for real estate and property professionals.
Hi, I'm Jonathan from Amplify.
Hi, I'm Johnny Combe, CEO of Payback4 UK.
I'm Kenneth Afianyo, the founder of Jogwefa, an ethical fashion brand based in Ho, Volta Region, Ghana. My Friday is never the same without Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
I'm Brian Simon with Fit Realty and Custom Homes of Virginia. You're listening to Kizzy Friday Game Changers. Listen, learn, and innovate.
Get in touch with Kizzy's Friday Game Changers by emailing fridaygamechangers@email.com and follow us on Twitter by searching for Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
Rancho de la Luna, here I am.
Kizzy's Friday Game Changers, elevator pitch of the week.
Please stand back from the closing doors. Please select a level. Going up.
My name is Truvan Vala, and I'm the founder of GetChefNow. We are a food tech startup based out of Toronto, Canada. One of the main problems that people face today is eating healthy meals in their busy lives. Our mission is to make food cost-effective, healthy, time-saving, and also delicious. The way we affect this change is by making personal chefs affordable and available on demand to everyone. Through our platform, we take care of food item selection, scheduling, finding, and paying pro chefs, and getting you the access to the ingredients so you can eat healthy. Our hope is that this app will also decrease food waste. We are also environmentally responsible by not being a proponent of single-use plastic products that meal kits are so dependent on. Thanks.
Top floor. Good luck. Kizzy's Friday Game Changer, Book of the Week.
Hi, my name is Luke and I work for Scandinavian Biolabs as an SEO lead, and I recommend the book The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. Because everything in the book should be taken with a grain of salt, right? The book is old and some tips are really horrible and some tips are really good for you. So if you read through the first 5 laws, you see like really deceptive and manipulative tactics. And you should have this kind of filter in your head where you filter out the manipulate and the bad points, and you should take into account the good points that they actually have. For example, one good point I saw is to focus on the self-interest instead of like your self-interest when you're trying to negotiate something, and that has worked wonders for me. The way to use the book is to apply some of those, and for the other kind of knowledge you should still have in your head, because knowing those laws will allow you to see through others' attempt at being manipulative and intercept what they think and try to defend yourself against those people. It helps in circumstances where you are negotiating, you are being interviewed, and you are probably just daily situations where the other person is like manipulative. And I think it's a really, really good read. And even if you're busy, there's like a 20 minutes video on YouTube on those laws that you can just check out. It's really quick and you have like a lot of knowledge to defend yourself against manipulative tactics. And that's always good in business.
You're listening to Kizzy's Friday Game Changers, the world's number one business podcast experience. Listen, learn and innovate.
Welcome back. Before the break, you're listening to Francisca Iseli and Christo Hall, founders of BasicBananas.com and their band Salty Lips, performing Rancho de la Luna. I'm in the studio talking to Catherine Wooler, Managing Director of crypto exchange Daxi. Now, last year, Daxi announced it was joining something called Crypto UK. Now, Catherine, why was it so important for you guys to team up with Crypto UK?
Yeah, sure. So I think we have to acknowledge that, you know, the crypto industry is fairly new. It's only really sort of a couple of years old, really. And like many new industries, there have been, you know, unreputable players in that space. And I don't think you can have a conversation about crypto without acknowledging that. So the great thing now is the FCA is heavily involved. There's this list of permitted exchanges, which of course we're on. And the FCA is very clear. They say if you're a retail investor and you hold crypto on any exchange not on the permitted list, we advise you to move it immediately. So we see a lot of regulation coming in. We welcome that. We think it's great for consumer protection. It's great for the credibility of the industry. So Crypto UK is the trade body. So I hold a board seat at Crypto UK. So they're very involved with making sure the industry is reputable and well represented in the press. And they make great outreach to the FCA and Her Majesty's Treasury and HMRC and Parliament. It's a really interesting organisation. So there's a lot of work being done to make sure, you know, it's taken seriously as an industry. It's a fast-growing industry. There, you know, are huge amounts of companies that want to get into that space. You know, it's a great source of recruitment. It's a great source of income in terms of taxation. So we just want to make sure that a good job is done of that. So yeah, we announced that sort of back end of last year, and look very, very, very much look forward to working with them closely.
Sounds like you've made the right decision there. It gives the consumers that sort of reassurance that there is somebody there looking out for their interests and making sure that everything is done the way it should be.
Correct. Yeah, and look, I think because a lot of those crypto businesses are global. I mean, we're a global fintech. We're headquartered in Singapore. We've got 6 offices. I head up UK and Europe. But I feel that for UK retail investors to be just wiring their money to a company based in the Seychelles or, you know, somewhere in Malta, it just feels like it's too far away. There's no regulation. There's no culpability. So I think having strong crypto businesses that are based in the UK is great for the industry and ultimately great for the consumer.
Very wise words. Right, we're at the past, present and future part of the show. Now, what this means is that I'm going to ask you three questions about your business past, your business present and your business future. And if we get this right, the answers will give us a unique insight into the mind of game changer, Catherine Wooler. Are you game?
Absolutely.
You sound so nervous.
I'm just thinking what you're going to ask me, and then mind boggles.
Honestly, this is going to be good. This will give us an insight, and I'm pretty sure that you'll discover things about yourself that you didn't know either.
Fantastic.
Let's go. Right. Now, you've got to imagine you can hear a clock ticking in the background. That's the sound of time passing by second after second. Imagine yourself traveling back in time to meet the young Catherine just starting out on her game-changing business journey. Now, I like Catherine because Catherine likes to ask questions. She asks you for one habit of yours that would make her more productive in business. What do you tell her?
So the networking. So don't be afraid to knock on those doors. It's a really cheesy phrase, but I'm a really big believer that your net worth is based on your network. Most opportunities that have come my way have been the result of someone I know or someone that I've met. I'm passionate about asking questions, hearing about people's businesses. And even if they're not useful for me, you might know someone that's useful to them. So I'm forever putting people in touch that should talk. Not because I want any gain from it, just I think it's good for, just gives you a good feeling, doesn't it, putting people in touch. So I think the more you can network, I think particularly when you're starting off in any industry or starting your career off, you know, ask questions, you know, ask for help, you know, try and find yourself, maybe not one mentor, maybe just people that you respect who, you know, have had great careers and you can just ask them questions. And most people in my experience are very generous with their time and expertise, as long as you don't, you know, completely take the mic, or you can say, look, I don't understand this, or, you know, I'm really interested in getting more involved in that in the business. Would that be okay? And I think, you know, 9 times out of 10, when I've asked someone for help or an introduction or some advice or access to someone they know, 9 times out of 10, they'll say yes. And conversely, when someone asks me, I will do everything in my power to assist them, whether it's, you know, having a work experience girl from my old school, or whether someone says, oh, I'm looking to launch this business, do you know, that might be interested. I think the networking, particularly when you're starting off, is, and actually throughout your career, to be frank, I think is key. And once you have an established career, in my opinion, you have an obligation to give back. So all the people that were kind to me in my, you know, 20s, I try and return that favour when someone knocks on my door to ask for a favour. And the world's a small place. I think the older you get, the smaller the industry is, whether you're in property or you're in crypto or you're in financial services. And if you can just be known as the person that will always help or always give you 5 minutes, I think that's a really good start.
I mean, I'm just writing this down. So your net worth is based on your network. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. It's not my own phrase, I'm afraid. I can't claim credit for it, but I do, like most catchphrases, they're catchy because they're true, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I've just written that down, and I'm going to put a little C for copyright.
You need to get it. You'd be laughing. Put it in your next book. The next book you edit, you need to put it in there.
Well, I own this phrase now.
Very good.
Your net worth. So really, networking gives you the opportunity also of taking rather than a trial and error and getting it wrong and trying it, you can take a shortcut, can't you? Because you can find somebody who's done what you want to do, and you can ask them, how did you do it? What did you do?
Yeah, of course. And so just to be clear, I don't necessarily mean networking events, although of course those can be great too. I mean, if you see someone at work and you think, oh crikey, I really love the way he, you know, brings on new business, or oh my goodness, I really like the way she manages people, or oh my goodness, that person over there is great at managing a crisis, you know, there's no harm in sitting down and just saying, can I pick your brains, or can I ask for advice? Or, you know, even now I run Europe and I'll occasionally phone our founder and say, oh, I've got an idea. It's not quite fully formatted. Can I bounce it off you? You know, there's no shame in asking for help or ideas, whether you're, you know, on your first day at work or whether you're 40 years in.
I like that. The, you know, quality of your life can often be decided by the quality of the questions you ask.
Exactly.
Okay, that's the past taken care of. Let's go into the present. Catherine, what one achievement are you most proud of professionally?
Goodness me, that is a really good question. Oh, there's a few, you know, so choosing one is really tough. I think I'm very proud of the scaling up that Daxi is achieving. So we're recording this during lockdown. We're just announcing that we are starting to come out of lockdown. But of course, you know, the last 12 months, we've been in lockdown, some sort of level of lockdown for about 9 months of it. So I've worked for Daxi for, I'm just 2 days off my 1 year anniversary, and we are scaling up. We're in absolute hyper growth. So to be working in an industry that is doing well is fantastic. To be working for a business that's doing well is just a sheer joy. So to give you an example of some of the sort of metrics of growth, so we have taken more business in the first, 6 weeks of the year than we took in the whole of last year. So look, scaling up your systems and your people and your product is phenomenal. And I'm just really proud of, I'm proud to be part of crypto as an industry. It's the fastest moving industry in the world. And I'm really proud of the team I've got for the service that they've delivered. That's brought me a lot of joy over the last year.
Sounds really dynamic. And it looks as though things are changing every day. Now, I'm wondering if you could have one superpower, Catherine. No, don't look, don't give me that look. If you could have one superpower, any superpower, what would you have?
Do you know, not having to ever go to sleep would be really handy. So crypto is a 24/7 market. So one of the phrases I like is that changing something in a crypto business, for most businesses, you know, they basically work 9 to 5, perhaps they work 8 or 6. But if you need to turn some technology off overnight, you can do that. In crypto, trying to make changes to a platform is like trying to change the engine in a Formula One car whilst it is still going around the track. So I work for a global business. The founder who I report to is 13 hours ahead. So I tend to talk to him at 7 in the morning or 8 p.m. in the evening. I end up caught on loads of calls till 11 p.m. So, yeah, if I could have a superpower of not ever having to sleep, that would be really handy. And unfortunately, I do actually really need my sleep. I wish the Margaret Thatchers of the world that can get 3 to 4 hours, I'm very jealous of. I'm an 8 hours. And look, when you're in a startup environment, we're past startup, but we're very much in hypergrowth. You have to really be constantly trying to innovate. We're very disruptive. You know, we're always trying to make sure our systems and processes are absolutely future-proof. And yeah, that doesn't really work if you're, you know, not sort of performing at your best. So yeah, being able to function on no sleep would be super, super helpful right now.
I've got to tell you, you've made history because this is the first time anybody has ever said the ability to stay awake indefinitely.
Forever, yes. Think of the nights out. Think how good your nights out would be as well.
Oh, that is incredible. It really is. I guess your motto would be you can sleep when the work is done. But it never will be done, will it, really?
Yeah, and look, I quite like that. It's a very dynamic industry. We've got some very bold ambitions. We're about to list our coin, the Daxi coin, on an external exchange. We are hoping to raise funding for the business on the London Stock Exchange this year. So we're launching crowdfunding in the UK. We're looking to have 50 to 100 countries next year. So we have a very ambitious medium-term and long-term roadmap. And I don't think that job is ever done. I think there's always, ways you can innovate, better services or more services you can offer to your platform users. So I kind of don't see it as a bad thing that's never done. I think it's just a very good, thing.
Okay, let's move into the future because that's the past and the present taken care of. Let's go 100 years into the future. I'm probably not going to be around, but the amount of energy that you have, you probably will be. But let's say 150 years time, when people are talking about Catherine Wooler, what would you like to be remembered for?
Goodness me. Well, if I'm 138, I'll probably be in the Guinness World Book of Records, won't I suppose? So I think for me personally, I think I want to be remembered as adding value and building something really valuable. We are privately owned. We don't have shareholders right now. So the the vested interest I have is in building wealth of our platform users. We have an amazing community. We have a very vibrant WhatsApp group. We have loads of followers on social media that I interact with each and every day. It's a phenomenal community. So I think if I have grown that, that would be fantastic. We've actually won awards. I was nominated for a WireX Women in Crypto. We've made the FinTech top 50 list with TechRound. So we're winning awards, which is fantastic. But actually, the real metric I judge by is whether our platform users and our team members are happy. That's the most important thing to me. I'm very passionate about women in crypto. So I facilitate what we believe is the largest online meetup for women in crypto. I think a lot of crypto meetups are quite technical. It's like an economics lecture. It's quite dry. Whereas we tend to have normal, regular women that are using crypto, not as their main day job. It's a side interest. But, you know, if some of those women that are single, divorced, married, have kids, don't have kids, they're swapping their stories. That's phenomenal. So I'm very proud to have grown that. So I think if I can keep that community together, I should be very happy to be known for that.
I suspect that you won't just reach those goals. You are going to smash them, Catherine. My screen has been lighting up for the past 10 minutes or so, saying we've run out of time. But before I knew we would, but, you know, it's been such a great interview, great conversation, that we're just going to let it roll. We have got time to ask, is there anybody out there who may be listening to our conversation that you'd like to say hello to? Is anybody you would like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, sure. If there is anyone that is considering crypto, almost as a concept, you know, they're just a little bit curious, you owe it to yourself to go out and educate yourself. So completely aside from the crypto exchange that I work for, crypto is coming as a dominant technology. It's like a tidal wave that, in my opinion, that speed of adoption will not be reversed now. We're past the tipping point. So whether you're interested from a technology point of view or an investor point of view, you owe it to yourself to go and educate yourself. We put out loads of free educational resources. So do a number of other crypto businesses. So if you're mildly curious about the world you're going to be living in the next 6 months to, you know, 100 years, go and do it. You're doing yourself a misjustice not to go and educate yourself in crypto.
Very wise words indeed. Catherine, it's been an amazing experience getting to spend some time with you on Kizzy's Friday Game Changers. I want to say thank you so much for sharing your insight and your wisdom.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great to join you. Thanks for the invitation, Kizzy.
Well, the time I've spent with Catherine has made me realize that every informed person, that means you, every informed person needs to know more about cryptocurrency, because it might just be one of the world's most important developments. And if finance specialists like Catherine are right, and I got a feeling they are, cryptocurrencies could do to banks what email did to the postal industry. You can't stop things like Bitcoin. It's like trying to stop gunpowder. It will be everywhere, and the world will have to readjust. This is a lesson that game changers like Catherine Wooler are teaching us every day. Listen, learn, and innovate. Playing us out is Annie Kiko, the creator of True Voice Global, and this incredible track's called Livewire. See you next week.
Game-changing interview? Share your thoughts by posting a comment. Sharing is caring. ever since the day you lit the fuse. I can't quench this desire. Like a fire running through my veins, electrified. Connect me to your power.
Hi, my name's Julian Leach. I'm co-founder and CEO at Parcel Point, and my Friday would not be complete without Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
I'm a live wire. I'm a live wire. I'm a live wire. Ooh. I'm a live wire. I'm a live wire. I'm a live wire. Ooh.
Game Changer Show. Game Changer Show. Game Changer Show.
I'm a live wire.